Wasn't that good to sing that praise today? We're not done yet. A couple things just to remind you of while everybody's at least halfway paying attention this morning. Two big things that are coming up on the calendar. One is this coming Wednesday, we're going to the NWA Naturals baseball game. If you haven't bought your tickets yet, we got tickets available still. I don't know how many are left, but if you haven't done that yet, there's details in your bulletin today. Or you can look on, I think, our, I don't know, there's other places you can find it, but definitely in our bulletin, you can find out how to get tickets, and we're all going to go sit together on Wednesday at the Naturals baseball game. I'd love for you to be a part of that. Invite your neighbors and friends. Really easy thing to invite people to and get to meet our church family at the same time. So bring your kids, bring families, bring other folks from your neighborhood. That'd be an awesome thing to do. The other thing I want to remind you of is two Sundays from today is a very important day. That's the day that we are going to hand out Bibles to our first graders. So if you have a child that's going into the first grade this year, we want to make sure that we have their information so we can give them a Bible on that Sunday. And then after we give Bibles to the first graders, we're going to have all of our school kids together up on the stage. We're going to pray over them and pray for God to bless them in this new school year. So we want to make sure that you are here for that, to bless our kids, and also make sure that your kids are here as well, two Sundays from the day. So mark that on your calendar. Get your calendar apps right now and put that down and make sure that you're here with us on August 16th. How many things, just off the top of your head, just think about things that you like really look forward to, like anticipate, like almost can't wait for it to happen. And maybe back up a little bit. Like when you were a kid, what's one of the things that like you just couldn't wait? I mean, you're just so excited. You knew something was coming up. It's something on the calendar, something your family was doing. It was a holiday. It was a trip. It was whatever it was. There was something that was happening, and you just almost couldn't wait for it. You were just so excited with anticipation for that particular thing. And all I want you to do is just tell somebody next to you, in front of you, behind you, what it was. Just take about 10, 15 seconds. Tell somebody else, what was that when you were a kid? You couldn't wait. On your mark, say go. Okay. Now that you're an adult, and I know a bunch of y'all are getting there, not quite, but getting to adulthood. So, but now that you're a little bit older, whatever it was you were looking forward to back then, what's something now? What's something that you just like, man, I can't wait? I mean, how many of you are excited to go to the Naturals game this coming Wednesday? You know, I don't know. Just what is it that some of you guys are so excited? I mean, we're a month away. We're a month away from college football starting. I mean, for some of y'all, like, cannot wait. Get there quicker, you know? There's some of you that have some event that's coming up, and you can't wait for it. You're excited for it. There's somebody that you're going to see. There's somebody coming to visit. What is it that you're, that just even right now or maybe just recently, that it's just so exciting? I just can't wait for it. On your mark, say go. Tell other people around you real quick. Okay. Now, if it's already happened, if it's something that already happened, like when you were a kid or something that you were just anticipating recently and it got to happen, you don't have to tell the person next to you. I just want you to think in your own mind, did it live up to the expectation? Did it live up to the excitement? The anticipation that you had, you know, was it as good as what you were excited for it to be? Because, you know, it kind of depends sometimes, right? There's some things that we get really excited about, and it just doesn't, like, we look forward to it for so long, and then it happens, and like, that wasn't nearly as exciting as I thought it was going to be, you know? And it could be little things, it could be bigger things. And some of those things maybe even exceeded expectations. I was excited about this, and man, it didn't just meet my expectations, it just exploded right past them. But sometimes it just doesn't feel like things measure up, right? So 40 years ago, there was a big buildup in our country to this one particular date. And it was a date, I believe in April, where Geraldo Rivera, this young reporter, they had discovered in Chicago in the old hotel that Al Capone used to have his headquarters in. And they had discovered that there was some concrete walls that had been just kind of plastered together, and they discovered these were some of Al Capone's like secret hiding places where he used to stash stuff. And they found his secret vault. And so they're like, we're gonna open Al Capone's secret vault, never been opened before. And Geraldo Rivera was the one that was gonna be the one to do it. And it was gonna be on TV, and it was gonna be this live event. They weren't gonna open it ahead of time and then tell everybody what they found. You were gonna get to watch it live. 30 million people tuned in to see what was gonna happen when they opened, and they carved out 2 hours for this because they're gonna talk about whatever it was that they found inside. And when they finally opened Al Capone's vault to see what was in there on national television, 30 million people watching, what's it gonna be? And they open it up, you know what it was? Nothing. It was empty. And I think there were a few, I don't know, there were like a couple of like old moonshine jars or some whiskey bottles or something, that's about it. And Geraldo Rivera had to spend the next like hour and 50 minutes trying to make that interesting. And it was all this buildup, it was all this anticipation, it was all this excitement. What's it gonna be? I can't wait. Oh, let's open the vault up. And when they did, it was just nothing. That's disappointing, isn't it? When we have those times where we're excited about something, we're looking forward to something, we think it's going to be something really exciting, we think it's going to be something fulfilling, we think it's going to be worth the wait. And it wasn't. And that can be really frustrating, really disappointing. We've been talking about things that are worth the wait for the last couple weeks. And we've really been talking about how God, multiple times in our lives and all through Scripture, all through history, God has caused people to wait or told people that they had to wait. And sometimes they're in the middle of you know, doing something or expecting something to happen and they're praying about it and they're wanting God to move, and God just says, okay, we're going to wait. I'm going to do something, but we're going to wait. We talked about how often that happens in our own lives, that God just kind of puts a pause on our plans and just doesn't let those things happen the way we want them to. Or we pray about things, we expect God to answer, and he's taking a while to answer. We want things to be done exactly the way that we've already carved them out in our minds, the way that they should be, and they don't work out that way, or at least not in our timeline. We look at other people, we compare our lives to other people's lives, and we feel like God is blessing them and taking care of them and answering their prayers, and when is it going to be my turn? And we're having to wait. And we experience that a lot in our lives. And what we have talked about over the last couple weeks, how God has done that a lot. Look through Scripture. You find God causing people and telling people they're going to have to wait. And one of the biggest frustrations about that we mentioned last week, two of the biggest reasons that we hate to wait, one is because of the uncertainty. We don't know when it's going to happen. And maybe not even knowing for sure exactly what is going to happen. And having to wait and to see what that result is going to be, we don't like that. That's uncomfortable. I'd rather have a little more certainty. I'd rather have a little bit more, not even if I got to wait for it, I want to know what it is. Go ahead and describe it for me so I can get prepared for it. And the other hard part about waiting is just a lack of control. I can't make things happen faster. I can't make things go the way that I want them to or when I want them to. And so that becomes frustrating. And so we've been talking about how, but it's actually when it is a God-directed, God causes us to have to wait, that's usually worth it. Matter of fact, every time that God says, just wait, it's always worth it. We talked about how when God causes us to wait, that he's often using that to help reveal his presence, to help us see what he's actually doing in our lives and maybe we weren't paying attention to before. It helps our faith. It helps us to trust more and to believe and to know that God is going to do some good things for us or use us to do good things for someone else. It causes us to have to be humble enough to surrender that control and to say, okay, God, I'm surrendering to you. Whatever your plan is, whatever your purpose is, I'll do that. But we talked about the maybe the bigger struggle, not just surrendering to God's plan, but we also have to surrender to his timing. And whenever he says these things are going to happen. We talked last week, spent a lot of time last week talking about how God uses those times often when we are waiting for whatever it is he's going to reveal to us or however he's going to answer our prayers, or whatever healing he's going to provide or whatever plan he's going to make obvious to us, that while we're waiting for that to happen, that God shapes us, God molds us, God carves some things out of our lives that maybe shouldn't be there anymore, and God begins to shape us into whatever it is that he has a plan for us to be and who he has a plan for us to be. And so I hope if you've missed either one of the last 2 weeks, I hope you go back, maybe go on our website or go on our YouTube channel or our Facebook page and listen through those things again and recognize how much it's worth the wait when God makes us wait. But this morning, I want us to be mindful of something that we should all be anxiously is not the right word, but just excitedly anticipating, looking forward to as we wait for it. And that is the rewards that God has promised us. The blessings, the promises that God has said, this is going to happen. If you'll stay true to me, you'll keep your faith in me, you'll live your life the way that I want you to, and have a relationship with me throughout your life, that the rewards at the end of this life are going to be worth the wait. The rewards are worth the wait. And what I want us to understand is I want us to see why that's something to look forward to. Why we have something to look forward to when this life is over. Because there's so many people in our world that have become convinced that this life is it. And we give it our best shot while we're here in this world, however many years we got, and we'll accomplish whatever we can, do whatever we can, and make whatever connections we can, whatever money we can, and accumulate as much stuff as we can, and do the best we can with what we got, but then that's it. And the promise from God, if we choose to believe it, is that there's more. There's more than that. There's more than just the amount of time that we have in this world, the amount of time that we have in this life. And we haven't received that yet. We haven't received those rewards. We haven't received all the things that God has planned for us, but we're waiting for it. And we need to trust and believe that what we're waiting for is going to be worth the wait. But I want us to be reminded, or maybe for some of us even in this room or somebody watching online, to understand why in the first place that we even have something to look forward to. You see, we believe that God has designed all of us, all of humankind. He's designed each one of us to be a reflection of him. He created us in his image. And he designed us to go through this life looking like him, not necessarily to have, I don't know, deified kind of bodies or whatever, but to treat people the way God would treat them, to use the words that he would use, to love and to forgive and to be patient and all the different character traits that we love about our God. He designed us to put those things on display in our own lives, to make the choices that he would make, to live the kind of lives that he designed us to live. And yet every single one of us has walked away from that design in one way or another. We've made our own choices. We've done our own things. We've gone our own path, and we have messed up. We have failed to live up to God's plan for our lives and God's design for our lives, and that's called sin, and every single one of us is guilty of it, and it doesn't matter if we've grown up going to church or if we've never gone to church, and it doesn't matter if we've always believed in God or hardly ever believed in God. All of us have fallen short. All of us have sinned, and we have consequences with that. We have to deal with the consequences of our choices and our sin, and the ultimate consequence of our sin is separation from God and death. And God did not want that to be the final chapter of our story. He did not want that to be the last thing that anybody could say about us. So he sent his son, Jesus. And we believe that Jesus of Nazareth was not just a carpenter's son. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth was not just a really popular preacher. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth was not just a miracle worker. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth was actually Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that he had a throne in heaven that he chose to leave to come to this earth and to become one of us and to live this life with us and to show us how we should live our lives with each other. And we also believe that he was perfect, that he never sinned, and that he chose to go to the cross. He chose to die to take care of our sins, that when his body was hung on the cross, he not only experienced a physical death, he experienced spiritual death as well. He took all of our sins upon himself. He became sin for us. He took the guilt and the consequences and the separation and the death that all of us deserve. He took those things to the cross and he experienced death himself for every single one of us, for all of humankind. We believe that he died a horrific death on the cross, that he actually died, that he was actually buried. But we also believe that Jesus Christ rose again on the third day. That when his disciples went to his tomb, he was not there because he is alive. That God raised him from the dead. And that not only was life breathed back into his body, not only did he walk out of that tomb, but he continued to live and continues to live now. That he is reigning up in heaven now. We believe that he is alive, that he is active, that he is in control of this world, and that one day he's going to come back again. We believe that to be true. And we choose to believe that no matter where I've been, no matter what I have endured in this life, no matter what choices I've made and what hurt I've caused other people, and no matter what hurt other people have caused me, no matter what my yesterday or last week or last month or last year has been like, if I choose to give my life to Jesus, if I choose to believe that his story is true, and I put my faith in him, and I choose to make him the king of my heart and the Lord of my life, and I choose to try not to do the things that I used to do before I made him the king of my life, and if I choose to be baptized into his name, to come up out of the water covered in his blood and full of his spirit, that makes me God's child, that puts me in direct connection with Jesus Christ, and that I don't have to deal with my guilt and my sin anymore. Because he's already done it. And not only do I have forgiveness of my sins, but I now, after giving my life to Jesus, I have life. That's the promise. One of the most, probably the most famous scripture or well-known scripture in the Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16. Where Jesus himself said, God so loved the world. He loved the world, the entire world, so much that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? Say it out loud. Eternal life. Not only am I set free from my sin, not only am I set free from my guilt, I'm set free from death. Will I have to experience death? Yes, this physical body that I'm living in will die. Unless Christ comes back again first. But I get to have life forever. And I get to experience that. I get to experience that forgiveness and that grace and that hope because I have a God who points to the cross and says, your failures don't define you. I have a God who points to the empty tomb and says, your life is not futile. There's something more than all of this. There's something more to this life, and there's something more when this life is over. You are loved. You are cared for. My son has given you life. He has conquered death so that you can be connected with me and have a blessed life while you're here on this earth, and so that you can be with me forever when this life is over. And all we're doing right now is waiting. We're waiting for that day. While I'm waiting on God to answer my prayer, for God to heal me, for God to bless me, for God to bless somebody that I've asked Him to bless, for God to use me in some way and give me the gifts and the talents and abilities that I need to do something for Him, while I'm waiting for God to reveal His plan for my life, all these different things that we've talked about that I might be waiting for God to do, while I'm in that time of waiting, I'm also waiting on the ultimate rewards that God has promised to give me. Like what? What is it that I'm waiting for? What are the benefits? What are the rewards that I get to experience because I've given my life to Jesus? What am I waiting for when this life is over? Well, first thing that I get to experience is Christ's return. I get to see Jesus Christ come back. And if he doesn't come back before I have died on this earth, I'll get to be with him in heaven and see and witness when he goes and establishes his eternal kingdom forever and ever. But if I'm here on this earth and Christ returns, I get to see it. I get to experience it. I get to see him come back. I get to see the face of the one who gave everything for me. I get to witness it. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 16, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Folks, that's something to look forward to. That's something to be excited about. That's something worth waiting for. We get to see Jesus. We get to be with the one who, as we just sang about a few minutes ago, set us free. That's worth the wait. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. With all the problems that our world has, with all the destruction and pollution and waste and war and anger and abuse and all the things that are broken in this world, the promise from God is that he's going to set all things right and make all things new one of these days. And do I know exactly what that's going to look like? No. I mean, Scripture talks about a new heaven, a new earth. Is that metaphorical? Is God going to create something and the only thing that I can wrap my mind around is a new heaven, a new earth? Maybe. Is God actually going to create a brand new earth and a brand new heaven? Maybe. Whatever it is, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's going to be brand new, and there's going to be no pain, and there's going to be no disease, and there's going to be no hurt, and there's going to be no tears. It's going to be exactly what God designed in the first place. It's going to be a beautiful place and beautiful existence with us and God forever and ever, walking with him, walking with each other, connected with him forever, brand new. I mean, think of all the things that are broken in your world alone. And God says, I'm going to make that new one of these days. It's going to be brand new. Isn't that worth the wait? That's what Peter says. Peter says that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, where righteousness dwells. Peter says, man, it's not just something we believe. We can't wait. We're looking forward to it. What is worth the wait? A new body is worth the wait. This body that I'm living in is flawed, it is broken, it is wearing out, it is hurting, it is falling apart. I know you can't tell. I mean, I'm the epitome of a physical specimen up here on this stage. I mean, think about just the aches and pains that you have. Think about how the things that you used to be able to do that you can't anymore. You're just not physically able to. The promise from God is, I'll be done with this body and I'll get a brand new one. Paul spends a lot of time talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says you're going to get a new body, and it's going to be imperishable, meaning it won't break down, it won't corrupt, it won't corrode, it won't disease, it won't break. And it's going to be immortal and never diminishes. It never winds down. That's the body that we're promised to have. And again, do I know exactly what that's going to look like? No, not exactly, but I believe that it's real. I believe that it's true. And so here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 about our new body. He says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, those of us who have Christ's Spirit living in us, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption of sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Paul says, man, there should be something inside of us that is, you know, he says we groan inwardly. We're like, ugh. Not in a complaining way. Not that we're whining and complaining about how much our bodies are falling apart, but just like, ugh, I can't wait. How much longer till I get to experience that new body? I'm eagerly waiting for it. I'm waiting for Christ's return. I'm waiting for the new heaven, new earth. I'm waiting for this new body. And I'm waiting for the reunion that he promises that we'll experience. I get to experience a reunion when that day comes, when Christ comes again. And I get to receive the reward that I've been waiting for. I get to be reunited with those who also have believed, with those who have lived for Christ and have already received their reward. I get to see them again. I mean, think about how awesome that's going to be. The people that you know that were faithful to Jesus, the people that you never knew that were faithful to Jesus, you get to be connected with them forever and get to spend time with them forever. You get to be reunited with the people who mentored you, who shared their faith with you. You get to see them again. You get to be with them again forever. The book of Revelation, it's a really hard and confusing book. It's a whole bunch of visions, a whole bunch of things that we probably don't fully understand all the meaning of. But there's one picture that John is given by God in these visions that he's writing down in the book of Revelation. And he gets in chapters 4-6, he gives us this picture of the throne room of God. There's God sitting on his throne. There's all these heavenly creatures around. There's this altar, and Jesus is there. There's a lot of different things going on. And it's this amazing, almost incomprehensible picture that John paints of what God showed him. This is what's happening in God's presence around his throne right now. And one of the things that he sees is this scroll, and it's got these seals that are stamped on it. And every time a seal is broken, something happens. And what I want you to see is in Revelation chapter 6, when one of the seals is broken, what John sees. It says in Revelation 6 and verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. John looks, and there's this whole slew of people, this whole group of people, all of whom had died, had had their lives taken from them, had been killed because of their faith. Because they were threatened to walk away from their faith, they were threatened with their lives, and they said, no, it is worth it to stay faithful to Jesus Christ, and they were killed because of it. And John sees them. John sees their faces. And he goes on and continues to describe the whole scene around there. He kind of breezes past this very quickly. And one thing that I want you to understand is that when John sees those people underneath the altar, he sees not only just people that maybe he knew, that had already given their lives to Christ, or maybe he had heard of that had given their lives to Christ. He saw his very own brother. Because if you go to Acts chapter 12, you find out that John's brother James was killed because of his faith. He was offered to walk away from his faith and he refused to, and he was beheaded because of it. So when John says, I saw the souls of the people, I saw the ones who said it's worth it to hold on to your faith, John saw his brother James. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? How just in that moment, how excited, how how excited he must have felt, just the emotions that he must have been going through just in that moment. Maybe, this is my thing. So maybe even hearing his brother say, "It's worth it. Hold on. It's worth it." And John knowing, won't be long until we're reunited. I look forward to that day. I'm going to get to see my dad again. I'm going to get to see my father-in-law again. I'm get to see friends, mentors, people who held on to their faith, poured their faith into me. And I get to be reunited with them. How exciting is that? How much should we look forward to that? Folks, I've given you a very small list of all the good things that God has in store for us when this life is over. And even with just what I've shared with you, it is worth it. It's worth the wait. And I want us to be excited about that. I want us to celebrate that. So we're going to celebrate as a church family right now. We're going to sing a couple of songs together, looking forward to that day. And then we'll wrap up.
How I long to be the
How could we not be stirred? How could we not be excited about what you have planned for us? Forgive us, God, when we focus so much on this world. And we love this world. And we all do it, God. It's comfortable. It's what we're used to. There's things that pull at our hearts that we think are so much more important than what you have waiting for us when this life is over. God, help us to look forward to that day, whenever it is. And if we come to see you first before you create your new heaven and new earth, let us look forward to that day. Not to be scared of it, but to know that it's worth the wait, however long that wait is. God, thank you for grace. Thank you for hope. Thank you for heaven. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have some more things to share, but we're running out of time, so I'm going to wrap up this morning. You know, if you haven't been a part of our church family for very long, you may not know that there's a 5K race that we host every year. It's the Jackrabbit 5K. As a matter of fact, that's another thing I need to mention to you, don't I, Lori? This coming Wednesday, we still need volunteers? Yes? Yes, okay. We still need people to come join us this coming Wednesday afternoon. We get details to you, but we need people to hand out shoes to people in need. We have purchased those shoes through the funds we have raised through this 5K that we put on every year. We've given away thousands of shoes to this point, and we're going to give away hundreds more this week. And if you've ever been a part of that race before, I know we got a lot of our church family that volunteer in different ways when we put that race on. One of at least my favorite things to do is to be out on the course. And that might seem like a really boring thing, to stand in an intersection and watch people walk by or run by, like, hey, go, keep going. And you keep saying the same phrases over and over again. You're like, you're doing good, keep it up, you're almost there, you're doing great, you know, and you're just clapping and keep saying the same things over and over again. But it's fresh and it's new to everybody that comes running by. And they get to hear it. And I remember, y'all wouldn't believe this, but when I was younger, I used to run 5Ks and 10Ks. I did. And I would start out that race, man, the gum would go off and I'd take off running and I'd be running way too fast. But that's, you know, the adrenaline's pumping and other people who are much faster than me are running out in front of me and I'm thinking I'm as fast as them, so I'm trying to keep up with them. And then as the race would go on, I would slow down. And most of those races, not all of them, most of them, you know, there's kind of like a turning point. You come back to where you started out, or at least that direction, right? And by the time, you know, I remember especially running 10Ks, by the time I'm at mile 5, I'm like, this sucks. I hate this. Why did I even sign up for this? I hate running. I hate this road. I hate everybody around me. I'm just mad. And you get to mile 6, and you're like, oh, man, I'm here. Oh, wait, it's 0.2, 6.2. And one of the best feelings, and you'll see it if you ever volunteer at the Jackrabbit race, if you're down here by the finish line, you'll see it. Rounding the corner and seeing the finish line, something just takes over, and suddenly you got some energy again. And if somebody is on the side, standing on the side of the road going, you're almost there, you can do it, stay with it, it just makes you just, you finish. You finish strong. You run to the end. You almost forget about some of that pain and some of that fatigue, some of that frustration, because you see the end and you're getting there, and people along the road are encouraging you the whole way. That's the picture that the author of Hebrews paints for us in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 11, the author of Hebrews gives us a whole bunch of different Bible characters and says these people were faithful. They held on to their faith. They did what God wanted them to. He planned things for them that were difficult, that they thought they couldn't do, and they did it anyway. And there were even negative consequences that they had to experience because of holding on to their faith, because of doing what God called them to do. But they did it anyway, and they received their reward. And then he says in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, because they did that, he says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses to what? You know, I used to think that the author of Hebrews was saying we were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, of people watching us. They're witnessing what we're doing. What are they witnesses to? They're witnesses to God working in their lives, using them to do things that they didn't even think they could do. They're witnesses to God putting something on their hearts that they felt uncomfortable with and they did it anyway. They're witnesses to God forgiving them and giving them second and third and 50th chances. They're witnesses to seeing God work in other people's lives and using them in powerful ways in that process. They saw it, they experienced it, and they held on to their faith and they received their reward. They're witnesses to crossing the finish line. So now what are they doing? Cheering us on. Because what does he go on to say? Since we've got these witnesses that have experienced it already, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run. Let's run with perseverance a race that's marked out for us. That's what I want to challenge you with as we wrap up this morning. Keep running. Keep running. You know why? Because it's worth it. You know how I know? Because there's other people that have done it. And they're cheering us on. They're standing there cheering us on. They're running alongside us. They're running with us. Keep going. It's worth it. So we're going to stand up in a second and we're going to sing another song together. And we're going to offer the opportunity for anyone that just, wherever you're at in your life right now, if you just need prayer, if you need encouragement, if you need support, if you need forgiveness and grace, if you've messed up and think there's no hope for you, you are welcome to come share that with us, and you will find nothing but grace and acceptance here. And you'll receive nothing but grace and acceptance from our God. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never known what it's like to have his spirit living in you, if you never know what it's like to have that anticipation, something to look forward to, you can come forward and say, I want to experience that. I want to know about that. And we'll share that with you today. If you don't move an inch from where you're standing when we're singing together, can I challenge you to be honest with yourself? Asking the question, what are the things that are hindering me? What are the things that are tangling me up? What are the things that are keeping me from running? Because the rewards at the end of the line are worth it. What do I need to get rid of so that I can keep running the race that God has marked out for me? If we can help you get rid of those things and give you a brand new start, we want to. So let us know how, while together we stand and sing.